Hey, welcome to Lifehouse Church. If you are a guest here, if it's your first time, we're so stoked that you are among us. Glad you're here. You would have been greeted and given a bag with some goodies in it. One of those things there is just an information card. Love to get connected with you. But most importantly, just want you to be seen, want you to be heard, want to be able to record you, so to speak, that you were present. Want to acknowledge you that you're here and among us. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being present with us. And another thing too, Andy Harrington brought to my attention this morning. There's so many people here that serve, and so many people are showing up more and more to serve. I just want to say thank you, really, for serving. Absolutely. Thank you for being present. There's really a lot of work to do, and so many of you work so hard, and I think it's super important that you be acknowledged, that we all be acknowledged and come together, because this doesn't go without you. We can't do this. I can't do this by myself. We can't do this without one another. As the church, it's such an important task. So just wanted to say thank you. We have an announcement or two here. What do we got? Ways to give this morning. That you can text that number. You can visit our website. You can give us a check or cash. And there's a box by the door. And we have a QR code now that's not distributed yet. Just got that this week, so we'll have another option as well. So bless you for that. Next, we have, what else? That's it. All right. Something we're working on, haven't quite worked out all of the details, but soon coming. We're doing what's called a marriage lab. You okay? We're going to have a time of like a small group where couples come, get together, and we're going to go for like a 4-week session. So we're working out the days and the times and that sort of thing, but just simple connection where we can build relationship together, learn some things, and grow together as couples as well. So that's soon coming. So we're calling that Marriage Labs. So we'll be communicating that. We'll send out some text messaging this week to give you some details and some understanding of the times and the dates of when that's happening, but you're absolutely invited. Amen?
Amen.
So we have started a series on Jonah. It's a simple book, 4 chapters. This will lead us into moving towards Easter, which is really soon coming, and for us it's going to be an incredible, incredible day and time for Christians all together to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But until then, we're in the series of Jonah, Swallowed by Mercy. 4 chapters, 4 sermons, 4 of the series is running, repenting, reviving, and resenting. So last week we talked about this idea of running, Jonah running from the call of God, running from the Lord calling him to Nineveh, and instead he went to Tarshish, right? Remember Tarshish? Tarshish. You can say it. It's okay. Just get it out of your system. So I'm going to have to eventually. Tarshish. So running, repenting. Something that I want to be clear on is Jonah was called to that great city, Nineveh. Nineveh is a metaphor for you and I to find the place that God's called us to. That sweet spot, that pocket that God's called you to, whatever that is. And it differs from each of us. But God's called us to accomplish something, called us into some special place of relationship. That's the place where his glory is. That's the place where his presence is. That's the place where he wants us to get to. And there's growth to get there. Of course there is. But Jonah was called to Nineveh, that great city Nineveh, and he chose not to go, went the other direction. So because the Lord had such a great calling for Jonah, he provided a great storm and a great fish to swallow him, because he was still called to something great. So the Lord often has to plunge the depths in our hearts in a great way to get us to that great city, Nineveh. Consider this. We're going to read in just a second, but Jonah, when he was in the belly of the whale, he called it things like Sheol, which is an Old Testament term that means Hades in the New Testament. It's the place where the dead go. He called it Sheol. He says, I'm cried out from Sheol, or the roots of the mountains, he talked about. This place of, and when I was fainting, getting ready to clock out, so to speak, I cried out to you, or I looked to your holy mountain. And that place, in that moment, that place that he was crying out for, fast forward to Matthew chapter 12, it's Jesus compares himself to Jonah, or Jonah being in the belly of the whale 3 days, Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days. Jonah went to Sheol because he was running from God. Jesus went to Sheol because he said yes to Nineveh. You understanding? He said yes to Nineveh. He went there not as somebody who was forced there because of rebellion. Jesus went there because he was an overcomer. And he came out and brought redemption to the whole world, to you and I. Jonah came out and brought redemption by the word of the Lord to the Assyrians in Nineveh. Jesus is the greater Jonah, right? Jesus is the greater Jonah. But we see this parallel. It's important to get a hold of. So what we've been talking about is Jonah's, this story of Jonah is just not about a big fish and a prophet who rebelled. It's so much more than that. It's about this concept of being swallowed by mercy. And sometimes God will send severe vehicles to provide mercy. Severe is a pretty severe term. You know what I mean? And in a fish and a storm is pretty severe. But it wasn't meant to destroy Jonah. It was meant to save him. The whale was. The fish was. I submit to you that you and I, whether we understand it or not all the time, we have our whale rides from time to time. We have our difficulties, our storms that call us, that provoke us to find rock bottom and to cry out from that depth and that place. I was thinking about this story. When I was a kid, I have this memory. It's kind of a vague memory, but I was definitely there. And my family was crying. My grandparents, my mother, some aunts and uncles, some friends. I believe there was like a lawyers that were in the room at my grandparents' house in Stanton, California, in the early 70s. And I don't know how old I was, but I was a little kid. I remember the drama. I remember the feeling of wondering what's going on. And my uncle, who was a missionary, he was in South Korea in prison. And he was imprisoned there for establishing schools. He was building seminaries and wanting to train theologians up in South Korea. Sounds pretty, really not a huge, it was significant, of course, but what made it complex is this guy who was the president by the name of Park Chung-hee. He became president in the 60s in South Korea. I'm going to give you just a little bit of history of the landscape in South Korea, the political, social, and religious landscape. This guy was pretty significant, and he brought a lot of reform, and he cooperated with the United States, especially like going into Vietnam and stuff like that. He was a pretty solid guy, but in the 70s, he turned dictator, and he began to establish martial law. And what he began to do was, there was a movement to overthrow superstition. He wanted to become advanced in the country, and he began to get rid of all these shrines and all of these religious relics that came from indigenous South Korea. So he went on this mission to eradicate. So he began to control communications and broadcasting and marketing and all that stuff, and he was very much in charge. Before he became president, he was the second guy in charge in the country. He was number two officer and became president. So he had some authority. So during the 70s, he went sideways. And as a reaction to all of this martial law and this resistance, there was another uprising, a group of people called the Mingyong theology. And what that was, Mingyong means to protect the oppressed. So another group came about beginning to battle and push back. So that created this conflict with the two. So here comes my uncle starting schools and seminaries in South Korea, and there's martial law, and so you can see this climate. It's not like he did something absolutely wrong to get imprisoned. He was preaching the gospel, and he was insensitive, really, to the culture and what was happening. And as a result, he got scooped up and put in prison. So fast forward, here I am as a little kid watching my family weep and cry and pray and asking the Lord to deliver him and bring him home. And ultimately, it costs our family a lots of money, lawyers, and fighting for months and months to bring him home. And he was gone for a long time. While he was in prison, there was times where he was just left naked in the cold and abused terribly with unimaginable things. But he would tell me the story. I remember him telling me this, that the Lord sent rats to keep him alive. Rats to keep him alive. Strange. What do you mean by that? He'd fall asleep and he would, I believe, like Jonah, just ready to faint away, ready to clock out, ready to be done. And rats would come and begin to chew on his toes. Horrible. Absolutely terrible. And it would arouse him, wake him up, and, you know, get them things off me, right? I don't want a rat chewing on my toe, right? No, thank you. But thank you for keeping me alive. But no, thank you. You tracking? Yeah. It's like a whale in Deliverance. You tracking? It's like Jesus sets you free from sin and death. And he gave you mercy, kept you from the pit, kept you from hell, kept you from a life that's in bondage, and then give you salvation. It's mercy. You didn't get what you deserved. And it's grace that I'm going to set you free. See, grace and mercy overlap right there inside the belly of that whale. Mercy was, I was running from God. And I told him to throw me overboard, and I ended up in the water wanting to end it all. And the Lord sent a whale, not as punishment, but as deliverance. It's mercy, right? And then delivered him to the shore of Nineveh so he can preach the gospel. And he did. And then what happened as a result? Revival broke out. It's incredible, that intersection of both mercy and grace. But there we have that story of sometimes God will send something very severe to us to deliver us from trouble that either A, we produced ourselves, B, something happened and it just accidentally fell into this storm, or C, something else or someone around me set this up, an attack, and I fell into this storm. A gal, Bible author, and biblical teacher by the name of Beth Moore talks about it in terms of a pit. You can be pushed in, you can jump in, or you can fall in. Make sense? In this case, Jonah jumped in, or technically thrown in, right? So the story's not just about a prophet and a fish. It's about being swallowed by mercy. But here's the tension. God's mercy is not often, it's not always soft, but rather severe. Jonah ran from God, and in response, God sent a storm. It seems like judgment, doesn't it? But in reality, it was mercy in motion. It was mercy in action. God not allowing Jonah to self-destruct in his rebellion. See, if God would have left Jonah in that spot of drowning, that would have been judgment. But he delivered him. He brought a vehicle in which he delivered him. Sometimes God's mercy is wrapped in a storm. Sometimes God's mercy, it feels like punishment and not protection. Sometimes God's mercy lets everything fall apart so he can put us back together again. You know, in these kinds of messages, it's easy to go, yeah, I wish so-and-so was here. Right? I wish my wife was here. Oh, she is. Hi. Say this. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, but this one's for me today. The differences between grace and mercy is not getting punishment that we deserve. And grace is getting blessing that we don't deserve. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. Romans 3:24 says this, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Imagine this, you get pulled over by a cop. Mercy is the officer not giving you a ticket, right? Grace is him paying for the ticket and giving you a gas card. Right, Andrew? You got any gas cards? He's the guy. I remember my daughters were little. I don't know if Maggie remembers this or not, or even wants me to look at her at this point. But the kids would do something wrong. Rarely ever did Maggie do anything wrong. Rarely. Dave, he knew. Do you hear that? He turned on you quick, just like that, man. The girls, we would have some form of punishment or something. And we were teaching the girls about mercy at one season. And every time we went to punish them, they'd be like, Mommy, Daddy, can I have a mercy? And it was like used regularly. It's like, no, you can't cash that one in every time. What did we create here, you know? Can I have a mercy? Roman numeral 2, grace in the deep. God meets us at our lowest moments. Hey, turn with me to Jonah. Chapter 2, and I'm just going to read these 10 verses, and then I'm going to refer to sections of them as I go through. So starting in chapter 2, it says this, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out in my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried out from the depth of Sheol. And again, Sheol is the place in the Old Testament, especially they believe that's where the dead went. When you died, you went to that place of Sheol. In the New Testament, it's called Hades, referred to often as the grave or even hell. Kind of synonymous words, but Old Testament word is Sheol. So Jonah said, I cried out from Sheol, believing he's dead, feeling like he's dead. And you heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the current engulfed me, and your billows, or your breakers and your billows, they passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again towards your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Graphic pictures here. Just these pictures and these concepts. We're going to unwrap some of them here. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you. And in your holy temple, it came to you, and in your holy temple, verse 8, those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I, Jonah, will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I'll pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up. Dry land. I wonder what he looked like sitting in those stomach acids for 3 days. I bet he looked albino. You know what I mean? Being pitched out like that onto the beach, wrapped in seaweed. Gross. there's a YouTube video you can look. In case you're wondering, there's 5 easy steps in case you ever get swallowed by a whale, how to survive. No kidding. It's there. 5 steps on how to survive a whale swallowing event. I think number one is just stay away from the whales, right? Don't swim with whales. Can take that literally or metaphorically. Let's stay away from whales, right? So 1:17, it says this, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days. See, we see a few things here that God first, he appointed the fish. The storm wasn't meant to destroy Jonah. It was meant to deliver him. Which we get this concept of these severe vehicles that the Lord will use, rats. And if you read, and some of you might know who Corrie Ten Boom is. If you read Corrie Ten Boom and about her sister Betsy, when they got picked up by Nazi soldiers and were encamped, there was lice throughout their barracks. And Betsy, her sister, was rejoicing over the lice. And Corrie was so upset, like, how could you rejoice over lice? This is crazy. But what happened, all of the guards would stay away because of the lice, and they would study the Bible, lead people to Christ, and do discipleship and in the presence of the lice. It was a vehicle for deliverance and salvation. Isn't that phenomenal? Sometimes the Lord comes in severe ways. Sometimes he brings mercy and it feels like judgment. But if we just sit in the pain long enough and are okay with what he's doing and just wait for him and let him speak, we'll find the answer. We'll find the way through it. And he'll get to the bottom of what needs to come out of us or what needs to be done in us. Because he's faithful to complete the work that he has begun in you. He's not going to abandon you. See, Jonah and God made a deal at some point in time. Hey, I'll be your prophet, or you be my prophet, and I'll be the God, okay? So I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to give you words. You're going to do what I say. You're going to speak. And when you speak, cool things are going to happen. That's Doug paraphrase, right? Cool stuff. And Jonah's like, deal. God's like, deal. Then God gives him a word, and he's like, no deal. I'm out. God's like, hey, we agreed. I'm holding you to this thing. My words are going to be in you. And regardless of where you go, I promise that I'm going to speak through you. And I'm going to bring you up. I'm going to call you to account. I'm going to bring you to a place because here, I want greatness from you. I want to bring you to a place of fullness. He wasn't willing to leave Jonah in his rebellion. I can tell you so much, man. I've run from God in so many different ways that and so many different times in my life. I knew. I remember as being a child and as the stories I just told you about my uncle and that sort of thing, there were so many pastors and preachers and evangelists in my family. Somebody would visit us from time to time and share the gospel. And I remember one of my cousins, my brother always had like Iron Maiden and picture discs and all of these band albums and, you know, Slayer picture discs. And my cousin Hank would come over and go, dude, I'll give you $50 for that picture disc. And he just wanted to get rid of it from my brother. He wanted to buy it from my brother so they wouldn't be around the house. But these guys would always come, cousins, uncles would always come and preaching, share the gospel and invite us to church and all that. It was always around. And I was like, always, no, I'm cool. I'm out. I don't want to do that. Until the Lord just called my number and called me into relationship with him. God appointed a fish. God's mercy often comes wrapped in hardship, we see. When God meets us at that lowest point in our life, he'll come at that spot and he'll begin to work out issues and hard things in our life. It's that spot of the lowest of the low. It's so important for us. If we're going to walk in a relationship with God, we got to understand that this is dynamic and it's real. It's not just checking boxes and being just religious and going through motions, but it's a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've made a commitment in your life to the Lord at any time, I'm sorry, but he's going to hold you to it. He's going to come after you because he's in love with you and he's not going to leave you to yourself. He's a good father. and he's going to chase you down. You know the story of the prodigal that we talked about last week? He come running, the father comes running because he's in love with you. He loves you, cares for you. He wants to call you into something good. And see, us, we're evil. If we're left to ourselves outside of Christ, we're never going to choose something quality that's going to bring life to us. Ultimately, we're going to be led by our emotion, led by our anxiety, led by our depression, or led by one of our desires, and we're going to go the other way, and destruction's going to come upon us. But this is a picture of the story of Jonah finding rock bottom. See, when he got to rock bottom, what he found was the rock of Jesus Christ at the bottom. You know what I'm saying? See, some of this applies. God calls us into life. He wants to do a deep work, a thorough work in our heart. And we see this whole thing with Jonah. Jonah goes to the depth there. You see the descent theme. Jonah went down to Joppa, down to the bottom of the ship. He went down into the sea, and now he's at that place of rock bottom. See, the reality is we're only as good as our training is. You know, in my mind, I think if something terrible were to pop off and I'm with my family somewhere, in my mind, I think I'm going to rise to the occasion immediately. I'm going to do what needs to be done. I'm going to defend my family. I'm going to take the right steps to get us to safety. I'm going to do that. But if I haven't been practicing that and training for that, what's going to happen is I'm going to fumble. Adrenaline's going to fill my mind, and I'm not going to make good decisions under that kind of pressure. And see, trauma is the same way. We want to think that when difficult times come, I'm going to cry out to the Lord, and I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast. I'm going to be super consistent. And that might be happening, but what we need to understand is this. You're only going to do what you've been doing. Your habits are going to determine how you respond in a place of trauma, in a place of difficulty. What are you doing today? What are you doing today? Because that right there is going to reveal what I'm going to do when trauma comes. I want to encourage you to find your place in Christ and who you are, who he's called you to. You're loved. You're cared for. He loves you, has a plan for your life. He's got solutions to your problems. He's got answers to questions. Just want to encourage you to lean in. Like Jonah was, when he went, found himself at the bottom. It says, Your waves, your billows, they roll over me. I was in place of distress. I was in that place of Sheol, and I cried out, and you heard me. I looked toward your holy temple. I want to encourage you to build that place in the moments of peace. Build that time in the moments when you have opportunity to. Don't wait for calamity to try to figure out your theology. But invest and engage in the moment. Begin to believe that the Lord loves you and has purpose for your life, has planned for your life, and has called you to something beyond where you're currently at. In Jonah 2:1-7, I cried out to the Lord, and out of my distress, he answered me. True repentance is not just regret, but it's when it's a time where it's not like Jonah got caught and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry." But he found that place of rock bottom. He found that place where he began to cry out to the Lord, and he recognized sin and a need for mercy. He turned back to God and begin to trust in his provision. A couple of weeks ago, Brendan and I woke up. apparently, you know those days, just wake up. I don't know about you, but some days I wake up and I'm moody and not much will satisfy me until I get into a fight with Brenda. I know I'm very unusual that way. I don't mean like that. I'm trying to be silly about it, but it's just off day and we can't connect. It's hard arguing about something and some communication style of, I don't even know what it was. It was petty. But it escalated. And in minutes, in moments, there's like tensions rising and division is beginning to happen. And I've got a meeting in about 10 minutes. I'm going to be late. I got to drive and I'm out of here. I'm going to leave in a minute. And we're not anywhere near done. And it's awkward. I'm upset. She's upset. I got to go. I'm out. And I left. And I get just, it's not even a huge issue. But God's so good. I get down the road just a few minutes and I couldn't help texting her. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I blew it. Should have never left like that. I promise you I ain't going nowhere. My heart is with you. My heart is for you. I'm staying put. I'll be home soon, and we'll kiss and make up. You know, that's how you do it. Every now and then, a blind squirrel can find a nut, right? Some days, it takes a little longer. In those moments, it was pretty quick for me. And as soon as I repent, when I get home, it's like we don't even remember what we were fighting over. You know what I mean? I want to encourage you to repent as quick as you can. If there's trouble, then just work it out. Humble yourself and repent and ask Jesus, would you come and just cover me with love? Fill me, forgive me if I've blown it. We don't have to hide and retreat and retract in the secrecy of it. That's where it begins to fester. And that's where the enemy wants to keep you, in a place of secrecy, in a place of hiddenness, because that's where he can do his most damage and work, is in that private spot. I want to encourage you to repent. Just repent. Lord Jesus, will you forgive me? I've sinned again. I've blown it again. I ran my mouth again. I shouldn't have, and I did. I'm sorry. And his response is, I love you. I love you, and I welcome you in. I welcome you to a place of wholeness and closeness. See, we're designed for that kind of intimacy with Jesus. We're not designed for division. We're not designed to hold on to anxiety, hold on to depression, hold on to any kind of addictions or any kind of fear. I want to encourage you, do business with God. Today, if possible. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And salvation belongs to the Lord. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come right here. And you would bring a spirit of conviction and life upon each of us. Not condemnation, but peace through repentance by your spilled blood, Jesus. Would you come and pour out life, pour out reality? Can you stand with me, please? This morning, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and if you can respond by moving out of your seats, that's fine. If you can respond by raising your hands, but I assume that this applies to us all in some fashion or form. First off, if you're here and you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ, and you'd like to resolve that today, if you'd like to find Jesus in your life and who he is for you, I don't want you to miss the opportunity this morning to meet him as your Lord and meet him as your Savior. If you're here today and there's any kind of division in your heart relationally with anybody and anyone and anything, if you're harboring some secrets from your parents, from your spouse, from your friends, in any kind of way, I want to encourage you to resolve that today. If you're here today and you feel like you're in a pit of some sort, you're in a dark place that you need some answers, you need to find some freedom, I want to ask you to respond as well. You can begin to do that now, moving forward out of your seats. If you need healing of any sort, you need prayer for anything outside of what we've communicated already, I want to ask you to respond. We're going to worship for a minute here to give you time to process and allow the Holy Spirit to move.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living in me. This is the air. This is the air I breathe.